From Paul's house and Storm's house, it's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
Hi, this is Paul. That is the spot
and
where...
Jonathan Colton.
Oh, wow. You spoiled it. I was going to give you a big build-up and make you sound even more fabulous and star-like than you are, but that's fine. We'll do it this way. Yeah, Storm is on vacation this week and has no real good internet access. So we have our special guest Storm with us from an undisclosed location. So let me get through the normal setup of the show. We are going to talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes on average. Today is, what is it, Wednesday, July 29th? This is show 050. Don't you feel special, Jonathan?
I feel very special.
Joining us on a round number like that.
Yeah, it's quite round.
Yes.
It's divisible by two, but not four. So
yes,
it's semi-round.
The only way it could be rounder is if it was show 00.
That would be rounder. Or 100 would be rounder, I think.
I'm just killing time because I have to look up and see how many minions we have in the Brigade of Minions. So go ahead and be funny for 5 more seconds.
Oh, okay. Do you know why witches get hungry at the beach?
Why is that?
Because of all the sandwiches there. I think I told that wrong.
Wow, you tell jokes with the aplomb of my father.
Is your father a bad joke teller?
No, yes. he's that gives a bad name to bad joke tellers. There's a standing joke in Paul and Storm that I don't know that we've ever shared with you. Pretty much whenever we drive past a cemetery, I have to say all of them. Because my dad's joke, every single time we ever drove past a cemetery when I was growing up, he would say, "Hey, how many dead people are in that cemetery?" "I don't know, Dad." "All of them." Which I'm pretty sure is being told wrong.
Yeah, I don't think that's quite right.
At least I hope so, because I can't think of a much righter way of saying it. And in any case, it's not funny, but he really particularly destroyed it.
So, you know, now that you mentioned it, I think I may have noticed you saying "all of them" when we pass cemeteries.
Yep.
But it's one of those things that you and Storm do knowingly, you know, without comment.
Yeah,
that I have since failed to really notice or pay attention to, because I know
we have a background. We have a very dense code. We're like, you know, like that twin language.
Yes. You do sort of, you speak in that weird twin language, that guttural clicky sound.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just a random series of I forgot the word. I was going to say consonants, but that's not right. Syllables was what I was looking for. Good thing it was worth the wait. Anyway, we have 204 minions in the Brigade of Minions. That's
Holy
right.
Holy beans.
Yeah, I know. We've moved on to a new designation. The Disciples of Lore is now closed. And now, for people numbers 200 to 249, are going to be part of the Blunderbuss Fire Team. I noticed, by the way, Jonathan, you have not joined our Brigade of Minions yet. I'm not hinting or suggesting anything, just noting that fact.
I don't really pay attention to your website or your podcast or your music, so...
Thanks for that.
That may be why.
So, deftly segueing, Jonathan is on vacation right now, as is Storm, which made me think... the easy, lazy solution for something to talk about today, other than trying to wing it, is to maybe talk a bit about vacations.
Yeah.
Are you fully prepared to do so, Jonathan?
I'm ready to talk about vacation, yeah.
Sure. My first question being this. Are you, when you were growing up, was your family a regular vacationing family? Was it, you know... Like a clockwork kind of thing?
No, we didn't have a standard place that we went to every year or a standard time that we went. My family is actually sort of notorious for kind of making plans and then getting in the car and driving for a while and then changing their mind and turning around and going somewhere else. And this is all like when you are trying to arrange a trip to the mall. That's generally right. how that sort of thing goes.
So even when you have a directed, even when you have a directed goal, it would tend to drift.
It's hard to get there. And you never know if you're going to get there until you actually get there. So for vacations had a sort of sporadic thing happening. But, you know, the place that I am vacationing now, my wife, as a child, went on vacation here with her family every year for as long as she can remember. So she had quite the opposite experience.
Now, did they have a specific hotel or house that they would rent, or they would just always go to Beach X and get someplace?
They always go to this one town which shall not be named, and they rent a different house every year, but they always come back to this town and they eat lunch at the same place every day. And It's quite lovely. And it's nice to be with a family for once, you know?
Yeah, you gotta like that.
Yeah.
Especially looking at the fall the way it's shaping up.
Yeah, but I know. The fall is gonna be totally crazy. Are you taking any sort of vacation?
We are actually in a couple of weeks. I have my sister-in-law has a house down the Jersey Shore. That's actually, when you say Jersey Shore, you know, people make their own assumptions, but it's actually a pretty nice house. It's in Brigantine, which is just north of Atlantic City, but it's off the beaten path, so it's not overwhelmingly touristy, yet it is only about 10 minutes away from Atlantic City. So if you want to do that kind of thing or go to the boardwalk with the kids or whatever, it's relatively nearby. But Brigantine
itself. See, that's handy, because where I am, like, the nearest lap dance is about a 45-minute drive.
Oh, did you measure it?
You better believe it.
You got it down to the quarter mile.
Twice every day, well drunk.
I'm interested that you measured it by that your unit of measure is lap dance.
Listen, that's how I have it's the overlay that I have on my mental Google Maps, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. We're a well-oiled machine here at the Paul and Storm podcast.
You're dealing with a guest host.
I know,
and it's the worst. You don't know what I'm going to do.
I've known you for like 3 or 4 years, and I'm still worried about impressing you. How pathetic am I? What a kiss ass am I?
Let me take the pressure off. I'm not impressed. I'm never going to be impressed.
Okay, well there we go. That makes it much easier.
No, I think you're doing a great job. Your vacation question was great.
Thank you. You
know, we had a lot of fun with that.
Can we break down the interview as we're doing it?
Did you go on vacation regularly with your family?
I did not. Thank you for following my leading question from before. Yeah. We were also not a regularly vacationing family. When we did go, we would usually go to visit family. I had aunt and uncle who lived in, I grew up in upstate New York, and I had one aunt and uncle that lived in Poughkeepsie, which was just a couple hours away. We had another aunt and uncle that lived outside of Boston, and vacations usually involved driving to their house and staying with them for a few days. And I was never mad about it growing up, but I look back and I don't consider it to have been sort of the traditional American definition of vacation, where you sort of go away from everyone and go to a specified, you know, resort or lake or beach or what have you. I don't resent it, but I sometimes wish that we had taken more, you know, did that sort of Griswold family, let's go to Wally World or let's go see the Grand Canyon or let's drive to Canada kind of thing.
But was it a destination other than your aunt's house?
No, it was just pretty much let's go see the family and have a nice inexpensive vacation.
No, see, that's not a vacation at all.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I'm sort of the same way. Like I wish I'd had more of those experiences. And as such, I as a byproduct of that, there's very little that I resent more than when somebody invites themselves over to your house to stay for more than a night. And it has nothing to do with whether or not I like those people, because in almost every single case, anybody that does that, I'm very happy to have them. But at the same time, I just view it as sort of an imposition, like, because it's always during prime vacation or summertime when you're trying to relax and not do anything. And it's like, you know, that's not fun and relaxation for me to have people at my house.
No, I know.
Even when I enjoy their company, it's like you got to clean up and, you know, you got to make sure they're entertained, even when they say they don't need to be.
Right, right.
And,
well, you know what they say. House guests are like fish. You wrap them in newspaper, and they have sex in the water.
Very profound.
Isn't that what they say?
Yeah, and they toss them back and forth at the Seattle waterfront.
At the that's right. You know, I would like to, since we're talking about vacation, I would like to take this opportunity to offer a kind of a public service message.
Please do.
All you kids out there, put on sunscreen, for God's sake. You know, one of the most profound memories I have of vacation was a time that I was allowed to camp like next door to the hotel that my family was staying in with my best friend. I must have been, 13 or 14 or something like that. And my friend and I stayed in a tent and went to the beach every day. While my parents were in a hotel nearby. It was very exciting, a lot of fun, but we decided to get really badass tans. And so we went to the store and we bought tanning accelerator oil.
Awesome.
And we went to the beach early in the morning and slathered ourselves up with oil and lay in the sun all day. I don't know. It was a different time. It was like you didn't.
It was. Remember when you didn't give a shit about that?
Yeah. People didn't talk about sunburn. And so there was always this idea that like, oh, I should just get a great tan. And nobody ever told me, like, you will never, ever have a great tan. You are you're an extremely white person with no pigment in your skin. You will burn, it will peel, and then later you will get cancer. And so I got so badly burned that, like 2 weeks later, my lips peeled off. It was awful. I'm not kidding.
That's a pleasant image.
It was really weird.
You had a gaping, disgusting hole in your mouth like a zombie?
No, not the
hole in your mouth
should
be, you're right.
Just the skin on my lips, but it peeled off in like one thin, disgusting strip. And so that is why I say to you people, put on sunblock. For God's sake, don't get a sunburn. There's no reason to get a sunburn anymore.
Now, that being said, let me ask you this question. Were you a weirdo like me, and I think many of our friends and listeners, where there you get a certain joy in peeling the sunburned skin later on and trying to see how big a sheet you could get it off in?
Oh, yeah. It's very enjoyable.
It is a strangely satisfying activity.
But it's the kind of thing that, you know, they should just sell. They should sell that at beach stores.
Yeah.
Like a limb with some skin you can peel off.
Yeah. Or you just like buy some liquid latex or that Band-Aid stuff.
Oh, you put it on your own body and just peel it off.
Put it on your own body, peel it right back off and avoid the whole second degree burn, future cancer aspect of it.
Do you have any memories of terrible sunburns? Because you're a fair-skinned fellow like me.
I am a fair-skinned fellow. I usually was pretty good about the sunscreen. Of course, again, back when we were growing up, the strongest sunscreen they made was like SPF 15. And when you put it on, you felt like you were covering yourself in stucco.
Yeah.
But so, you know, even when I quote unquote put on the sunscreen, I would still burn having the whatever percentage Irish I am. It all went to my skin.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would freckle and burn like a mofo. But I don't remember any so debilitating as to have removed my lips.
Yeah. I mean, most of my memories of beachy times and beachy vacations involve me getting horribly sunburned the very first day that I was there and then spending the rest of the time in great agony.
Yeah. I will say, like, I did sunburn pretty much every time I went to the beach because it was sort of the double-edged sword of living, you know, where I grew up in eastern Pennsylvania. We were about an hour to an hour and a half away from the Jersey Shore. So our trips to the beach were never like, let's go spend a full weekend or a week. It was always, let's get up at 6 a.m., drive to the beach and stay there all day and then come home that night. So no matter how much sunscreen you put on, it's worn off by, you know, mid-afternoon at the height of the sun's powers.
Yeah.
So it was a pretty regular, you know, I didn't even bother at a certain point because it's, you know, why prolong the inevitable, I guess.
Yeah, no, that was my beach experience as well, because growing up in Connecticut, you know, there was the Long Island Sound, and we used to go to Watch Hill in Rhode Island, and it was that kind of thing. You drive early in the morning, spend all day there, and become really uncomfortable, and then drive home.
Yep.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah. Uncomfortable and like moist from all the horrible humidity. Ugh, and
salty
and sandy and greasy. Speaking of which, you posted a lovely shot of yourself on Twitter the other day, or maybe it was yesterday.
That was my beach hair, yeah.
Somebody's got a new 8x10, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. I didn't realize at the time, but it's I am sort of a dead ringer for that Nick Nolte mugshot, as many people on Twitter pointed out.
It was pretty good, especially the sort of strange, inscrutable grimace on your face while you took it.
That I worked hard on.
Yeah,
not so much.
Yeah, you didn't see all the outtakes. You went through what, like 20 or 30 shots before you picked that one.
I did like what was it? I did a dozen rolls of film. I brought them to the dark room and I cropped them in various ways, and I finally picked one and scanned it in.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now here's another question, vacation theory wise. When you vacation, either as a kid or as an adult or both, do you prefer an activity-filled vacation, or do you like to go and just do nothing and vegetate and have no plans?
You know, I studied vacation theory in college, so I'm glad you asked me this question.
Lovely. Is that the new school?
Is that the new what?
The new school, they have a really good vacation theory program.
they do. It's a lecture series more than a program.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
It's very good. I am the kind of person who enjoys a do-nothing vacation. Mm-hmm. I feel like a weekend you can say, oh, let's go climb a mountain and eat a big dinner and go home. But if you're going to go away for 2 weeks, like the whole relax thing, the only way I can relax is by having enormous chunks of free time, so much free time that I become a little bored.
Yeah,
that's really what I'm looking for on a vacation.
I am totally with you there. And luckily, my wife tolerates that.
I think it's hard when you're in a relationship where one person wants an active vacation and the other one.
Yeah, no, she doesn't mind so much. Luckily, because we have two kids and our oldest daughter is just like me. Like our ideal vacation, no matter where we go, is to immediately go to the area mall or store and find the cheesiest 1,000 to 2,000 piece puzzle we can find, mm-hmm. and just plunk down and assemble that over the course of our vacation. Whereas my youngest daughter and my wife like to go hang out on the beach and let's go to the flip-flop store or whatever there is around there, and let's go see this site or that site. And we get along great that way because everybody's got company. Nobody feels like they have to be dragged along to a thing. Now, that being said, lately, whenever most of the vacations we have taken have been with my parents in the past number of years, because, you know, A, we enjoy their company, and B, they tend to pay for a lion's share of any given rental. So, you know, why buy the milk, et cetera?
Yeah, why buy the milk when your parents are buying the milk?
Exactly. I'm glad you went that route. I was picturing a milking my mother thing that
it's no good.
It was not worth it. But nonetheless, my mom, while I love her to death, really likes to. She doesn't feel like she's on vacation unless she's doing stuff that she normally wouldn't do if she wasn't on vacation.
Right.
So if we're not going to, you know, the seashell museum, or you know, driving 3 hours to go buy some hush puppies that somebody said was really good.
Yeah.
She starts to fret.
Yeah. No, my father is the same way. He cannot sit still and on vacation. He's always.
And there's nothing wrong with it. It's just the way they're programmed
versus the way we're
programmed, I think.
It's sad. It's sad to watch them thrash around like that. You know?
I know. I know.
You kind of want to say like, just no, let's have a cocktail. Let's just sit here and be alone with our thoughts. But of course.
I know. It's like watching an Arthur Miller play or something. Stop flailing. You can't beat America no matter how hard you try. So just give in. Let me see. Now, do you enjoy when you vacation as an adult, do you prefer to do you tend to go more nearby, or do you prefer to sort of travel to a faraway place or someplace you haven't been?
You know, I don't like foreign places and foreign people. That sounds terrible.
You meant by foreign, you mean anything without a New England or Midwestern accent?
Exactly. No, I the thing is, I don't need to go to a foreign place and be amazed by all the strange things. You know, I like that kind of travel. I like the kind of weird, you know, when we went to the UK together, it was great. You know, it's like, this is what they call a train. And this is the restaurant.
Look, here's public transportation that works.
Right. And it's kind of fun to see different cultures and blah, blah, blah.
And it's very handy and convenient that we get to do that kind of, you know, that's involved with the way we make our living.
Well, that was work, of course. That wasn't a vacation.
Yeah, but even so, like, you get the faraway travel thing in without feeling like you're wasting a vacation on it.
Exactly. And I feel like, for me, the purpose of vacation is getting away from things like planning and worrying and thinking, you know. So for me, it doesn't matter where I go, really. What I like is to be in a house that is not mine and sort of sit around and cook stuff. And if there's a beach, that's fine, or a swimming pool, that's fine.
Yeah.
But it's not really necessary. It's just to sort of unplug is the whole purpose of that is why I vacate.
Uh-huh. Ooh, and you used the proper verb form.
Yes, I did. I told you I was in vacation theory.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's your associate's degree showing itself there.
It's a correspondence course.
Yes, the DeVry Institute of Vacationing. Okay. Well, that's covered that topic reasonably well. We passed the 10-minute mark about 11 minutes ago, by the way.
Oh, good. Okay.
We just and for those of you participating in this podcast who aren't familiar with it, which would be you, that doesn't necessarily mean anything. We just like to point out the 10-minute mark. Usually we do it about, you know, 6 to 10 minutes late, so.
On average.
Hey, boom chick.
Yeah.
Welcome. You're totally in the pace of it now.
You see?
Yeah.
I caught up.
One more thing I think we'll cover. We don't ever like to make this too long, but I think we got time for one more topic. We've talked recently in the past few podcasts about changing things up a bit and maybe interviewing somebody. And of course, many of our fans suggested you.
Yeah.
And I'm not really going to do that here and now, or certainly nothing in depth, but you know, traveling with you as regularly as we do, we get to see you in the media all the time because you're a big, famous, important internet star.
Yes.
And we've seen you answer every question that comes around over and over again. So I was trying to think of some questions that we haven't seen you answer, at least in the press.
Yeah.
Or in the media, in the Northeast elite media.
I would take on that challenge. I mean, not to invent the questions, but to answer them.
Right, right. And the one I think we've had this discussion privately every so often, but I don't know that you've answered it publicly. So I want to put you on the spot and ask you, of all of your own songs, what is your least favorite? What's the one you wish you could have back and sort of unrelease? Or is there one? Or, you know, if not one that you're, you know, you wish you hadn't released, then one that you really wish you could go back and make good, in your opinion?
Well, there are none that I wish I hadn't released, because they all, I don't know, that has sort of softened.
I'm asking you to pick a least favorite child, of course.
No, that I will do. and I would have to say it is the song Drive. I know there are at least two people who like this song.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was, I don't know, it was one of those, it just didn't gel for me, you know.
Yeah.
You have
this was from your Thing a Week project, which, for those of you who aren't familiar with Jonathan, by the way, maybe I should have set this up in the beginning. Jonathan Colton is a famous singer-songwriter, very popular thanks to the internets. We tour with him reasonably regularly, and a while back he did a Thing a Week project where once a week for an entire year he released a song every Friday,
yes.
And put it up on his website, and this is how he really sort of shot to his original level of fame.
Yeah.
And this is one of those songs. This was what, about, you know, 12, 13 weeks in, was it?
It's something like that. Yeah, it's pretty. It was my first sort of slump, I think.
Yeah.
And it was.
I'm looking at your site. I think it's the last song on Thing a Week One. So
I think that's right. Yeah, which is unfortunate. You know, I kind of liked the little nugget of an idea that I had, but it just it never developed in the right way for me. And also the recording process, for whatever reason, that week, I think that was like the height of the construction that was being done on my apartment. And so my studio was completely dismantled, and I had to just go completely mobile, and I had to
So it's all loops and MIDI tracks kind of stuff.
It was basically written and recorded on a laptop, without any acoustic instruments. I don't think there are any acoustic instruments in there. And I had to record the vocals in my sister-in-law's apartment in the middle of the day with the microphone that I don't usually use because I didn't have a decent preamp, and it was all this like it was compromise on top of compromise, and it never got past the point in the songwriting or recording process where you're like, this sucks.
Yeah.
Because you know? I have that moment every time I do this, and usually I pull through it. This one, I just never pulled through it.
Yeah. Interesting. That's, okay. Because that's the one I would have picked for you. Yeah, that's the one I would have picked for you, too. See, I find this kind of stuff. I love sort of, just like I love to hear comedians tell bad gig stories.
Yeah.
I always find it interesting to hear people talk about disasters of their own making, or
it's very instructive that way.
Yeah,
I'm just lucky that one didn't take off, and people don't demand that I play it.
Wouldn't it be great if that had been You're Still Alive?
Oh God, I'm sure that happens to people. You know,
I'm sure it does.
What is your worst song?
Your
least favorite song.
Again, with the same sort of backpedaling you made, that there's none that I think we really just should never have released. But that said, Boolean Love Song is one that really, and not even so much for the song itself, because just like you, there are a number of people who really enjoy that song, and I do not begrudge them that. But that said, and you were there for the process.
It was
very, what's a kind term? Cobbled together.
Yeah.
We were doing it for the Masters of Song Fu songwriting contest, and the deadline was coming, and we just didn't have an idea. And again, we usually pulled it out, and this one just sort of, we just sort of shrugged and said this was good enough. And it was another one where it had to be done for the most part mobily on a laptop. Yeah. And, it didn't have very many tools to do that. And it, I don't know, shows, I think.
Yeah, I wouldn't call that one of your best. And again, it has redeeming qualities.
Well, the eagle cry,
scream
of
in there
course.
Is, I think, fantastic.
Boy, I wish that I could show our fans film, because you were there, sitting at the table with us when I pushed to put the eagle cry in there. And I think that really was, you know, my true sort of, if there had been a towel that I had thrown in, that was the eagle cry was the towel where I said, look, this song is never going to be good, so let's just go over the top with it and put in this eagle cry. But I was really like adamant, and like I really wanted it. I don't mean to say, you know, let's make this sound shitty. Like, I really thought that's what the song needed.
Yeah. And what I
and
loved
you,
about
you
it,
really didn't agree and didn't want to say anything because you weren't really part of the process and didn't want to upset the apple cart.
Yeah, so well, because I knew I could tell, you know, I'd been there. So I knew the pickle that you were in, and I knew exactly why you wanted that in there. And in a way, I think you're absolutely right. It needed to be there. What tickled me was that you I think it was breakfast. We were sort of sitting around eating cereal, getting ready to drive to our next thing. And you guys were working on it. And the funny thing was that you and Storm spent probably 45 minutes, auditioning different eagle cry sounds. And like, no, that's not right.
No, just not it.
You know, as if you were.
Well, you know, if you've got a turd, you can at least polish the hell out of it.
I know. That's what I loved about it, though. You know, anyone who thinks that bad stuff is slapped together any more than good stuff, you're wrong. It's all hard work, even when it's not very good.
That's right. Okay. Well, that works. There's a bit of insight that you may not have heard from Jonathan Colton, internet superstar.
And I dare say from Paul and Storm.
I dare say. Dare. Yeah. And seeing as we're creeping up on the 30-minute mark, I think now's as good a time as any to wrap things up. Thank you, Jonathan, for filling in to the inestimable, that's not the right word, but I'm using it, inestimable shoes of Storm DiCostanzo.
I can estimate his shoes.
I suppose that inestimable is, in fact, the entirely wrong word to use there.
It doesn't matter. We know what you mean. We both think that Storm is fantastic.
Yes, we do. And let's see. This is the part of the podcast where I say you can visit us at paulandstorm.com and find out about the Brigade of Minions and find out where we're going to be. For example, on Friday, August 7th, we're going to be at Milk Boy Coffee in Ardmore, Pennsylvania, with the very funny Canadian trio, the Arrogant Worms. And then on Friday, August 28th, we're going to be back at home, so to speak, in Jam and Java in Vienna, Virginia. And then we are at the Penny Arcade Expo in Seattle the weekend of Labor Day weekend, 4th, 5th, 6th of September. And then we have a whole bunch of shows coming up with Jonathan, including a couple nights in Denver at the Soiled Dove in late September. You know what? I just found out our show on St. Louis, which is Saturday, September 19th at, where is it, Off-Broadway.
Yeah.
Is International Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Is it really?
It is.
That's very lucky.
If the internet is to be believed.
That's, you guys have a song about pirates, don't you?
Matter of fact, we do. And I dare say we might just sing it that night.
I dare you to not do it that night.
How awesome would that be?
Don't even mention it. Just don't do it.
That just... Oh, you're a cruel man, Jonathan. I like your style though. So go to our website to find all that out. If you're not familiar with Jonathan Colton, which is probably three of you at this point, but if not, you should go to jonathancolton.com. I'll post a link on the website. He's a very funny, very talented, very generous man for giving us some of his valuable vacation time to join us on the podcast. So thank you, Jonathan, for calling in.
You're very welcome. And please, if you go to my website, don't listen to Drive. It's no good.
Oh, you know that's exactly what I'm playing at the end of this podcast, because we always close out with a song. You knew I was setting you up for that or something similar.
I guess that's true.
So there we have it. And here comes my daughter, which is my cue to stop recording. So once again, I am Paul.
And I am Jonathan Colton.
And we just talked about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes on average. And this is the part where Storm usually says, go do things. So I'll leave that to you, Jonathan.
Go do things.
Just drive.